Our reading for Monday, July 27th is going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. I must go on boasting. Though there is nothing to be gained by it, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man I will boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I have been a fool. You forced me into it, for I ought to have been commended by you. For I was not at all inferior to these super apostles, even though I am nothing. The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with utmost patience, with signs and wonders and mighty works. For in what were you less favored than the rest of the churches, except that I myself did not burden you? Forgive me this wrong. Here for the 3rd time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden, for I seek not what is yours, but you. For children are not obligated to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. If I love you more, am I to be loved less? But granting that I myself did not burden you, I was crafty, you say, and got the better of you by deceit. Did I take advantage of you through any of those whom I sent to you? I urged Titus to go and sent the brother with him. Did Titus take advantage of you? Did we act in the same spirit? Did we not take the same steps? Have you been thinking all along that we have been defending ourselves to you? It is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ, and all for your upbuilding, beloved. For I fear that perhaps when I come I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder. I fear that when I come again, my God may humble me before you, and I may have to mourn over many of those who have sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity, sexual immorality, and sensuality that they have practiced. Hopefully you were with me in reading chapter 11, because chapter 11 puts chapter 12 in its proper perspective. Remember chapter 11, he started off saying, "I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness," which he's using a figure of speech and some sarcasm there. And he begins to defend himself, and he does use that term super apostles, which, you know, there are no classes of apostles, one class being better than another class. He's talking about those that would exalt themselves and try to say that they have some greater amount of authority or place above Paul, and Paul has to defend himself. The accusation is made against him that, he's got all these weaknesses that present themselves when he's in person, and that somehow limits the fact that he is an apostle. And so he uses chapter 12 to explain why that is not the case. And so we really need to understand in that context what he's describing with this thorn in the flesh, along with the revelation that was given to him. Because he tells them that the weaknesses that he has are not a detraction, they are a glory to God, that God strengthens him through these things. And he had to learn that lesson as well. So it's very important that we put chapter 11 and 12 together in that particular context. So when we start out chapter 12, he says, "I must go on boasting." He's continuing from chapter 11. Though there is nothing to be gained by it, he really shouldn't have to do this boasting. and he shouldn't have to even share that this happened, but he's going to go on because he's still having to accomplish the same purpose of defending his own apostleship and defending himself and even defending his weaknesses, which seems strange to us. Would we have to defend our weaknesses? But he does. He does have to even defend his weaknesses. And just a side note here, he describes this vision as happening 14 years ago. So if we take that 2 Corinthians was written somewhere around AD 56, that would have put it around AD 42. His conversion would have been about AD 36. So this would have been during that period of time in which we know that Paul was working and preaching, but we don't have anything recorded about him. This is the time in which he is in Cilicia, Cilicia. We see that in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 21. So this is not talking about his conversion. It's talking about an event that happened after that time. And I realize it gets a little confusing because he says that I knew a man, but he draws a connection to himself with a thorn in the flesh, so we can safely say he's talking about himself. And if he was really talking about somebody else, it wouldn't make any sense for him to share this information about the revelation when he is defending himself. So during this revelation, he says, I don't really know how it happened. I can't tell you how it happened. I just know that it did happen. God only knows how it happened. That's what he's saying when he talks about whether it's in the body or out of the body. It means, you know, was my whole body taken up? Was it just my spirit taken up? I can't answer that question. And so he says, I know this man was caught up into paradise. He heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. Things in the spirit are foreign to those that are in the flesh, and it's not something that he can communicate. He says, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth regarding all of this. He says, I refrain from boasting so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So he has not shared this before, at least as far as we can tell, or maybe just to, you know, some private company with some of his compatriots. But in verse 7, he says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, now we know that it's Paul, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. So he connects these two things. We don't know exactly what the thorn in the flesh is. I think we can safely connect it with something outward that other people could notice because of the weaknesses that are pointed out about Paul that he addresses in chapter 11. But that's me reading between the lines a little bit. Take Daryl's 2 cents for what it's worth, less than 2 pennies in your pocket. But when we look at this and he says, to keep me from becoming conceited, this thorn was given me in the flesh. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. What was the Lord's answer? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So he says, God is accomplishing more in weakness, because it's not the speaking ability of Paul, it's not the presence of Paul, it's not something wonderful and great about Paul that's different than everybody else. No, it is the Word of God that is being delivered by Paul. And so there shouldn't be anything about Paul that gets in the way of that word. People should not be persuaded because the speaker looks good, sounds good, anything along those lines. It should be because of the truth which is presented. So what lesson did Paul learn? He says, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses. I know that we complain about things, you know, bum knee, bad back, allergies, whatever it is. But I wouldn't say that we boast about our weaknesses, but he says, because I learned this lesson, I can boast in my weaknesses because that is more glory to God. What I accomplish is more of a glory to God because of my weaknesses than otherwise. He says, this is that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. He says, I've been a fool. Again, this idea of foolishness, having to boast in these things. He shouldn't have to. They should just recognized that he preaches the truth. Shouldn't have to do this, but he says, I've been a fool and you forced me into it, for I ought to have been commended by you. In other words, you should have been speaking up for me, knowing who I am, but instead I've got to do all this foolishness. He says, I was not at all inferior to these, quote, super apostles, even though I am nothing. He regards himself in an humble spirit and points out at the same time that no one is above him in terms of his place before God. The signs of a true apostle were performed among you. So they should have, again, known who Paul was and known the truth of what he speaks, and those signs were done among them. Verse 13, for in what were you less favored than the rest of the churches except that I myself did not burden you? Again, we're back to that idea of he didn't take any support from them while he's preaching to them. So he says, you know, did I do you wrong by doing this? I meant it to be something good for you, that me asking for support would not stand in the way of you listening to what I told you. And he says, it basically says, if you're going to count this as a wrong against me, then forgive me this wrong. And he says, here for the third time I'm ready to come, and I will not be a burden. Again, he's stating, I've got my support from elsewhere. I'm not seeking what is yours. I am seeking you yourself, your salvation, your souls. Verse 15, I will gladly spend and be spent for your souls. That's Paul's whole purpose. It's not to have some earthly gain. And he says, if I love you more, in other words, if I'm willing to go to this degree to make sure that I'm only chasing spiritual things, am I to be loved less? In other words, if I'm going to go to great lengths for you, because of that, you're going to love me less? You have no appreciation for what he's doing? Verse 16, granting that I myself did not burden you, I was crafty, you say, and got the better of you by deceit. That's foolishness. Not in sarcasm, the way he's been using it, that's real foolishness. This idea that he got the better of them by deceit simply because he didn't take support from them while he was there. Do you begin to see the contrast? Because he is defending himself against people that do show up and demand support. Notice I didn't say ask. I think they showed up and demanded support. Said, don't you know who I am? You need to support me. He's not talking about the other apostles. He's talking about deceivers. We mentioned that in our earlier readings. He says, did I take advantage of you through any of those whom I sent you? He says, even when I sent people to you, they weren't coming to seek what is yours. They came to seek you as well. Titus and the brother that was sent with him, did he take advantage of you? Did he not act in the same spirit? Did he not take the same steps? Have you been thinking all along that we've been defending ourselves to you? It is in the sight of God that we've been speaking in Christ and all for your upbuilding. Everything that they have done has been for the benefit of those saints. Verse 20, I fear that perhaps when I come, I may not find you as I wish, and that you may not find me as I wish. In other words, I don't want to show up and have to do the same things I'm doing in letter. I want to show up and find that repentance is there, and we can have a joyous occasion together, and I can be there to help you grow rather than to continue to rebuke you. He says there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, disorder, things that ought not to be so among a congregation of the Lord's people. He says, I fear that when I come again, God may humble me before you, and I may have to mourn over many of those who sinned earlier and have not repented. That's what his real concern is. So he's done defending himself, and now he's saying, I'm worried that because you haven't been regarding me the way that you should, you haven't been really listening to what I've been saying, and therefore have not repented. And that would be an occasion for mourning. All right, we will get into chapter 13 and finish out 2 Corinthians in our next reading. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.